Good afternoon. This is the 16th of December, 2012, according to the calendar on my computer. The Mystical Principles site has started up once again by request. And I thought we'd make it a limited number this time, instead of inviting just the general public. I thought we'd have a smaller group with just the more serious students. And how do you know the more serious students? Well, those are the students that may occasionally ask for some help, but pretty much have sure footing in these principles and on this path. And so, rather than making a human life better, they're more interested in what are the principles. And that's how I see a serious student. They've gotten past the place where they want a little better supply or a little better health or a little better companionship. Not that they don't ask for help once in a while in those areas, but for the most part, they're serious about the principles and more interested in what is the correct principle behind this. How do I practice it? Knowing that these other things are the added things which come from the practice of the principles. So, here we are, and we're a small group, and I'm sure there will be some others joining us as the nudge comes. And this is a talk that, this talk I'm making this afternoon, that is only going to be available to this small group. It's not going to be available to the general public. And I feel that in this smaller group, I can be a little bit more explicit, a little bit, oh, we can talk about some things that perhaps the beginner might be shocked at. So let us just get right down to the nitty-gritty and see where we're at, each of us individually. And you can ask yourself too, while listening or reviewing, where am I at with this? Now, unless you've been hiding in a cave somewhere, surely you are aware by now of the unfolding tragedy in Connecticut. What's the name of that? Let's see. Sandy Hook, Connecticut. 20 children and 6 faculty, I guess it is, gunned down, killed by a individual that it appears has a mental illness, or had a mental illness, because then he shot himself. And if you're like me, and something like this happens, you ask yourself why or how. How could this happen? Now, I hate to be brutal, but we all read or hear in the news all the time about elementary age students in Afghanistan walking down the street and the religious zealots drive by and throw a bottle of acid in her face, permanently disfiguring her because she has the audacity to want an education. And that's perhaps so far away from home that we don't, well, we're sort of a few steps away from that, and we kind of impersonalize it and don't think too much about it. I'm sure we don't agree with it, and I'm sure perhaps our hearts cry out, there must be something better, we surely must do something about this. But it doesn't bother us the same way as when a tragedy hits in our own backyard. And so when it hits close to home, if you're like me, your thought goes to, how could it? Where was God? God is omnipresent. We repeat that to ourselves. We read it in the message of the infinite way and in other messages. We read it in the Bible. And so if God is omnipresent, where was God standing while this deranged person was shooting innocent children? I mean, we have to face this. We can't just hide our heads under a rock. Where was God? How could this happen? This is, I'm sure, the very thing that these parents are asking themselves. I would be. But those of us that have been in the infinite way for any length of time surely know the principles that answer this. Let us go to, well, if you've read the articles or listened to the news reports out of Sandy Hook, then you know what a frightening experience that must have been. Now, in contrast to that, listen to David in Psalm 91 and tell me what the difference is. David says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. In Him will I trust." And down a little farther, "A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. There shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Now, in the infinite way, or perhaps in your own experience, you have learned, I have learned, that the secret place of the Most High is the conscious awareness of the living presence of God, here and now. And so if you dwell in the conscious awareness of the living presence, the living omnipresence of God, here and now, none of these things shall come nigh thy dwelling place. Well, what happens if you don't dwell in that? Well, as you know only too well, you're a human being. Or, as Paul puts it, you're in the flesh. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. All right? Turn that around, and it says, if the Spirit of God, if the conscious awareness of the presence of God does not dwell in you, then you are not in the Spirit. You are not in the awareness of the Spirit. You are only in the awareness of the flesh. And of course, if you dwell only in the flesh, he says it's death. So, if you dwell in the conscious awareness of the living presence of God, then you are led by the Spirit of God. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. All right. So what does this mean? This means you either have a conscious awareness of the living presence of God, and you dwell in the Spirit and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and none of these things come nigh your dwelling place, or you do not have the conscious awareness of God. You only have the awareness of a fleshly existence, a material world. You only have a material sense of body, a material sense of life, a material sense of supply, a material sense of companionship, a material sense of power, a material sense of health. And so you're dwelling in a material sense, or in matter, or in flesh. And, of course, the wages of that is death. Now, ask yourself this. If Jesus Christ had manifested at that school, or on the road in Afghanistan, walking beside that child, if Jesus Christ had sat down to tell a story to these children in that classroom, and this boy had walked up, would he have shot all those children? Could he have shot all those children? And you know the answer. Of course not. Well, what makes Jesus Christ so different? How does he have the power to stop this? He doesn't. And he'll tell you that himself. I of myself can do nothing. Then what of him, what in him makes the difference? So much so that when a man possessed with a demon walked up to him, he never made an attempt to do anything. The demon itself said, well, what are you going to do with us? If it's okay with you, can we go into that sheep? Now you know something similar would have happened. What do you want me to do? Lay that down and come over here. Well, what is the difference? What is the difference between Jesus Christ and, say, one of the teachers or the principal, which was plenty brave? What is the difference? The difference is the conscious awareness of the living presence of the Almighty God, here and now, wherever you stand. The difference is that Jesus, having the consciousness of omnipresence, of the omnipresence of God, anything and everything that entered that conscious awareness stepped into the omnipresence of God. But now take him out of that picture. No Jesus there. What happens? No one has anything except a material sense of existence. And the drama unfolds as it always does, sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes wonderful, sometimes horrid. That's the nature of life lived on only a material plane. So let us go back here and see. If I want to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, if I want to be covered by His feathers and let His presence be my shield and buckler, if I want to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, even though 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, if I want it to not come nigh my dwelling place, I have to find a way to dwell consciously in the secret place of the Most High, to dwell consciously in the conscious awareness of omnipresence itself. That is the secret. Or, to be led by the Spirit, which makes me the Son of God, which makes me aware of omnipresence. Now, how do I do that? If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in me, then I am in the Spirit. I walk in another dimension, and I take it with me wherever I go, whether I travel to Afghanistan, Iraq, North Korea, Hawaii, California, or Connecticut, or South Africa, or China, or New Zealand, or Australia, or Japan. I take the conscious awareness with me. It is my consciousness. And those that enter my consciousness come under the shadow of the Almighty, just as they do when they step into the consciousness of Jesus Christ. So they do when they step into the consciousness of Barbara Christ, or Bill Christ, or Laura Christ, or Linda Christ, or Miranda Christ. Whoever has that consciousness becomes the sons of God. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you, then are ye the sons of God. Right? So, that's why I can say you're Barbara Christ, or Jesus Christ, or Linda Christ, or Bill Christ. And whoever steps into that consciousness comes into contact with the omnipresence of God. It is true, in the absolute, God is omnipresent. But unless someone is consciously aware of that omnipresence, God isn't there. This is what started Joel in his search, when he realized God is not in the human scene. One person is a majority if they have the conscious awareness of omnipresent God. One person becomes the Son of God or Christ. One person becomes the only power in that consciousness, or that room, or that family, or that town. Do you see that? And so you have to be the difference maker in your community. You have to be the one. If you have children enrolled in a school, you have to be the one that, going to that school, takes that consciousness of the living Christ the omnipresence of God into that school. You have to be the one that, coming home, knows that that consciousness stays there and goes with you. Wherever you go, that consciousness includes you and what you are aware of, because it's entering your consciousness. And so you have to be the one that makes a difference in your community by carrying the living Christ. Do you see that? Now, here's another principle. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. See? We're saying again, not what you can do physically. Well, we'll just set up a whole bunch of barriers and put guards around, and we'll issue a proclamation or a law that nobody can carry any weapons in this town, and we'll do this, that, and the other, and make all these physical preparations to safeguard ourselves. And we get all those in place, and we feel pretty good about ourselves. We've made all these material, physical preparations, and along comes a disease and wipes out the same children. Well, how could this have happened? Because we were trying to save things by might. Well, okay, so now we try on the other shoe, and we try it by power. Let us take a lot of positive thought. Let's give everybody a free psychoanalysis. Well, let's put in a lot of positives, a lot of positive thoughts and positive sayings. Let's treat this town for a disease and make sure that we know that no disease has power, and we'll throw these truths at it, and we'll set aside a time to work on this, and we'll give it a lot of thought and a lot of energy, and we will try by power to protect this community. And sure enough, the community doesn't get any disease. Ah, we're successful. But wait, a law is passed which affects the economy in that area, and it's devastated, and people are laid off by the thousands. Nobody can find work, and now they're losing their houses. Now they're going hungry. But wait, we thought we had it fixed by power. No. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. It doesn't say as many as are filled with physical abilities, they shall be the sons of God. It doesn't say as many as are filled with intellectual power and acuity and mental power, those are the sons of God. No, it says you give both of those up and you're filled with the Spirit, and then you become the sons of God. And so not by might, not by something you can do physically, that's not an answer. Not by power, not by something you can think or reason out or come to a logical conclusion on or agreement with. No. That's not the way either. The way is by spirit, by my spirit. In other words, again, the answer, the only answer that God says is the right answer, is the conscious awareness of the living Spirit of God. Conscious awareness of omnipresent God. Here and now. So, if you have this conscious awareness, you are protected. It's promised. It's promised. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Thee. Now, Joel says here in his first talk of the 1955 Kahlua Study Series, the very last paragraph, eventually you are going to see it's just as much of a sin to believe that there is power in good thought as to believe that there is power in bad thought. That was the original discovery that started the infinite way on its way when I realized in 1932 a good thought isn't any more powerful than a bad thought. Why? Because a good thought is just as human as a bad thought, and a human thought isn't power. You see? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Not by anything human, but only by spirit and spiritual awareness do you become the Son of God, the child of God. That consciousness that anything that steps into is protected. And so you and your community have got to find a way to not use thought, not use any thought, good or bad, not use any physical answer, good or bad, but only stand so still that you're given, that you're lifted into the awareness of the living Christ. Then that governs your consciousness and everyone that steps into it. And it does not come nigh thy dwelling place. Because if you're led by that spiritual experience, then you are the Son of God. And if the Son of God, then you're an heir of God, joint heirs with Christ to all the heavenly riches. You see? So now, let us start again, those of us that are serious students, and let us look again. What is the answer? How could such a thing happen? And the answer? No one had the conscious awareness of the living presence of God. All we're living by a material sense of existence. And that's not anybody's fault, by the way. That's the nature of, quote, this world, unquote. This world is made up of individuals living solely in a material sense of existence, a personal sense. But you know now, in your community, you must be the one willing to sit down with this Kahlua study series, one talk at a time, perhaps one paragraph at a time, like we saw today, until you have the thrown off the letter, which is a mental exercise and will not bring you the Spirit of God, thrown off the letter and moved and been lifted up by the Spirit. You, each of you in your community, must be that one lifted into the conscious awareness of the living omnipresence of God. And this you do first in your meditations. If you have not yet read and studied the Kahlua Study Series, Chapter 10, How to Pray, And chapter 12, which is experiencing the Christ, and chapter 23, which is called Experience of the Christ. If you have not yet read those, studied those, live with them, and practice them to the point of stepping out of a material sense of existence, stepping out of a mental concept, and simply resting back until you feel the inner movement and are lifted into the conscious awareness of the living Christ here and now. If you have not done that, then that's what you need to do so that you can be the difference maker in your community, so that you can be the Son of God on earth, so that you can have the consciousness into which those that step into it experience a measure of the Spirit of God, a measure of the Christ, a measure of the shadow of the Almighty, of the cool resting place. You must be the Christ in your neighborhood, in your community, in your house, in your family, on your street. You have said that you are serious about learning these principles. Well, then stop coasting. Stop coasting. If you have the conscious awareness, then do as Joel suggested and take little moments throughout the day and evening and perhaps a few, one or two times at night, and just for 3 minutes, dwell in it. Because what you're aiming for is the constant conscious awareness of the living presence, even while going about your daily activities. Sometimes in the foreground, but sometimes in the background, but always an area of your consciousness is consciously aware. That is what you're, what we are walking towards. And if you don't and have not had the conscious awareness of the presence of God, then perhaps you might want to pick up the Art of Meditation and read it again and put that into practice. Because if you know the principles and are practicing meditation, the Christ must lift you up. At some point, you must let go, stand still, and see and experience the living omnipresence of God, if only for a moment. This is the consciousness that makes the difference. Christ consciousness, which is nothing really fancy. It simply means that you're consciously aware of the living Christ. You feel it. You know it. You see it through discernment. And so, my friends, there's only five of us right now. I'm sure there will be more as we move forward. This is the first talk, maybe the last talk. Then again, we may go forward and have a little community of serious students making a difference in their own communities. Let me know what you think, or what you feel, rather, not what you think. I'm not interested in what you think. Let me know what you feel about this. Does this feel right to you? And if it does, then post a message. We're all here together. And let us know that this is something that feels right. again. The only one to which it is true that 1,000 will fall at thy right hand and 10,000 at thy left, but it shall not come nigh thy dwelling place. The only one to which that is true is he or she that dwells in that secret conscious awareness. It's the secret place of the Most High, because it's the conscious awareness that nobody knows saving he or she that received it. And it is the consciousness of the Most High, the omnipresence, the living omnipresence of God. And so dwelling there, in that, it cannot come nigh thy dwelling place. And you become a law unto your little community. Whithersoever thou goest, the conscious awareness goes, and the Christ goes with you, as you. I hope in the days and weeks, months to follow, that we can cover some serious, or rather, let us say it this way, we can cover some principles in a serious way and not be afraid to look at things that perhaps would be upsetting to a newer student. Let us see how we can die to an individual material sense, fleshly sense, or intellectual sense of existence, and come into the conscious awareness of the living presence right here and now, so that we may be born into this new awareness. We can't wait for this to happen somewhere down the line, for God to wave his magic wand and lift us up into Christhood. We can't even depend on teachers to come in our neighborhood and give classes. This is an inner work that each of us must do. No one can do it for us. And none of it can happen if we're still working on, well, how do I double my income or get the right partner or improve my health? Again, I repeat, it's not that we can't occasionally say, hey, I need a little help here. I'm falling back into a material sense of supply, and of course, it's not working. But as soon as possible, stop asking for that kind of thing, and instead, let us see what principles we're missing. What principle am I missing here? How could this happen to me? What principle have I missed? And let us not be afraid to look at it. If you dwell in only the flesh, you are going to die. You can look for an experience that's pretty bad, because you have no conscious awareness, and these things will come to your dwelling place. On the other hand, if you're fearless and you say, well, okay, what principle must I practice? And you take it in your hands and you say, I'm going to use these tools. I'm going to find a way to be lifted up into the conscious awareness of the living Christ here in my midst, as my midst. Then, for you, it won't come nigh thy dwelling. And you don't know how or where that awareness of Christ is going to move you, into what community, and into what action, and into what work. But trust me, it'll be something you never dreamed of, you never thought of, because it won't be of thought. It'll be of the Spirit. If so be that this spirit dwells in you, then you become the Son of God. Now let us look at this first chapter of John, because this is what we're really talking about. It says, as many as received him, that is the Spirit, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born now not of blood, that is, not of flesh, nor of the will, that is, not of the mind, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word, or the Spirit, is made flesh and dwells among us. And we behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is exactly what happens to you. If you will let go of material sense of existence, if you will let go of a mind sense of existence, if you will stand still until you are lifted up into that quiet place where you receive the Spirit of God, or the conscious awareness of the living God, then you become the Son of God. And now you're no longer born of the flesh. You're no longer born of the mind. You're born of God. And now the Word has become your flesh. The Spirit has become your experience. And standing still, you behold his glory, that is, the secret place of the Most High, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This becomes your living experience. And into this consciousness, anyone that steps into this consciousness that is not of God cannot exist very long. It will run. It will flee from you. But it will not come nigh your dwelling place, nor any that dwell there with you. So, can we answer the question now? Even though we perhaps don't enjoy looking at it, can we now answer the question? How could such a thing happen? Such a thing always happens where there's no conscious awareness of God. If there's only a conscious awareness of flesh, then you have good and you have evil, which is what makes up flesh. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty from good and evil, both. Now you have neither. You have the conscious awareness of the omnipresence, the living omnipresence of God. Neither good nor evil, only God. Well, I don't know if I'm going to talk to you again before Christmas, which is in 9 days. See, it would be a week from Tuesday, Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day would be Wednesday, I guess. I don't know if I'll talk to you before then, but I hope you all understand now what Christmas really is. It's the birth in you of this conscious awareness of the living Christ. And so I wish for all of you, all of us, a wondrous Christmas experience, so that we may see and know and believe and trust and feel the omnipresence of the living Christ. Now let's have a meditation for a moment. right here in our midst, in my midst, is the living presence of Christ. Christ, take over this meditation. I'm still. I am listening. I behold Christ. Feel the living Christ, and I hear, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. My friends, in Christ, Merry Christmas.